everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got an awesome guest. She's been on Indie Film Cafe a lot. She's done a lot of reviews for us, but this is our first time and my first time interviewing her. Please welcome Tris Marie. How are you doing, Tris?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So let's start talking about how did you get into acting? Like, what was it that, what drew you to it?
That's always the question. I feel like mine's a little bit of a long story because...
Well, let's do it. We got an hour.
Well, I kind of thought I was going to be one of those people. I was very inspired by, you know, Brad Pitt. He just got up and went to LA right away. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that right out of high school and stuff. But back then I had like so many people, you know, and parents and everything telling me, you know, you should really get a normal job. And like, I don't think it was taken as seriously, at least in the area that I was at, you know, and I guess that's how much faith they had me.
But aww.
I mean, it's fine. You know, I think it's, you know, people hear a lot about the starving artist and it's like, it's sometimes it's not a very respectable or understood like career move, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's misunderstood. So, you know, I did it their way for a long time and I was like, okay, I'll do the normal thing. And I did that normal life and stuff like that. And I did do it like a couple, like I was in a beauty pageant in high school. So I like dabbled in that. I
did you win
drama and stuff, but huh?
Did you win the beauty pageant?
No, because it was so funny because it's kind of so embarrassing. Like I don't even show anybody the photos from it. Like it was in the, you know, it was in the paper and everything. Like, you know, Tris is in Miss Teen of America. And but imagine having to be in a pageant in your most awkward years, like, cause I had just qualified for it. So I had just turned 16 and like, that was my awkward looking phase. So I don't know how I got in, but, so no, did not win, but it was a good experience to kind of, I think that was probably one of my first real, like being on a stage with like hundreds of people, something like that. And really having to turn that on and turn off your fears and stuff like that. Cause I've been honestly, like in the past, I'm actually more of a shy person. So, for me to be like this public person now has been years, training. So,
you know, it's funny, a lot more shy people get into acting and whatnot in the arts because of being shy, you know?
Yeah.
Because it gives them the opportunity to be somebody else, you know, and not mm-hmm. the shy person and everything. Do you feel like that was sort of like a good motivation? It's like to get out of yourself and to feel more comfortable and things like that?
Yeah. I mean, I love, it's such a, I think it's always what in my heart I've always wanted to do. And I just felt like because people thought, well, you should do stuff that, you know, is more secure money wise and stuff. And, there was a fear associated with it too, because I was so shy. Like I had my heart was pounding out of my chest trying to like get in front of people. So imagine like being in a room where everybody's staring at you doing auditions. And, but I was just determined. Cause I've talked to several people that are like, oh, I could never do acting. I couldn't audition. I'd be too nervous. And it's like, well, but that's why I like to do it. I want to push myself. And the, honestly, the more you do something, the more comfortable you're going to be with it. And I'm completely for getting myself out of my comfort zone. I like that. And it gets easier every time I do it. I'm so comfortable now, you know, in front of a camera and auditions. It's just, it's a way of life now, but yeah, I didn't even get to the acting part. So I, you know, I did the acting thing for a long, or I'm sorry, normal life for a long time. And then like, you know, I had this big life change thing happen, you know, the huge breakup and everything. Really, I had to start from scratch all over again with my whole life. And that it was at that moment where I was like, you know, I've been doing everything for everybody else, everything that everybody else told me that I should do or thinks that I should do. And I just finally decided I'm going to do something for me. Mm-hmm. And so at first it was kind of just like a therapeutic thing, a creative outlet. So I kind of started kind of getting my dreams out. I was having like these, you know, dreams and wanting to get those out. And I did some photography. And then I had authors asking me if they could use my photos for their books. And so I kind of accidentally fell into the book cover market.
Nice.
And then I had, and then after about a year, people were saying, are you an actress? Because you're so emotive in your photos. And just that one simple comment was enough for me to be like, you know what? Maybe I should revisit that. So, so that's why I got myself back in college and, took courses for media production, theater, like the whole nine yards. And I started doing some films. The film community just, embraced me. And, I just took off just like that. I got, you know, big opportunities like being on the Travel Channel and stuff like that. So I was like, well, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do, you know? So that's kind of the weird way how it started. And then now I'm in so deep. So
yeah, you can't stop now, can you?
No.
So the you know, I want to know more about these book like pictures and stuff. Were they for like the romantic, you know, stories or something?
Mostly. Yeah. I'm on some USA Today bestselling, you know, novels, but yeah, they're the love triangles.
You know? Really? You have like two guys or something or whatever, exactly, like right yeah. next to you.
I wish I would. I have some of them with me. I could probably show you, but yeah.
You can feel free, you know, if you
very
if you,
funny. Yes.
Got a couple. Yeah. I'd love to see them. That's funny.
I do. You want me to get
yeah,
them?
Yeah, sure. Feel free to grab them real quick. So for you guys on the podcast that can't see this, sorry, but go check out our YouTube video when this comes out so you guys can see the amazing artwork that we're about to check out.
Yeah. Okay. So, this one doesn't have three guys on it.
Oh, okay.
But this is a series. This was an award-winning novel.
Oh, nice. I like your hair.
Thank you. Yes. It's very 40s. Yeah. It's kind of like a wartime romance novel. There is a third guy, but, this is a series and I'm on all four books.
It's called Refuge Road.
Yeah. Refugee Road. Yes.
Refugee Road.
Nikki Landis. Yes. And then, this is a USA Today bestselling author, Laura Greenwood, and I'm right there.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
is that like a wig or something that you have on, or did you color your hair or?
That, you know, I think that was when I was blonde. I used to have platinum blonde hair. I kind of did that kind of thing when I started modeling. I platinum blonde. So I did a lot of like Marilyn Monroe, stuff. And I did that for about 4 years. I actually had a casting director tell me, I have freckles and stuff. And they were like, you know, you should go, red. You should really go red. Your complexion would go really well with it. And they thought I would book more roles, like that. Like this, obviously right. I took their advice. But I also noticed like I get more serious roles with this hair color. It's kind of crazy how that changes. I definitely got more the arm candy type of roles with the blonde hair. So it's nice to be taken more seriously. It's definitely a completely different look. But
well, see, I sort of noticed that with at one phase, there's like one place where it was back in like 2012 or 13, I had a bunch of actresses that were blonde, right? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, everyone went red. And and it was because their agents, every single one of their agents said, you'll get more work if you go red. And I started laughing because now everybody's going red. Now they're competing with the other people whose agents have told them to go red, you know?
Yeah. Like,
it's kind of funny, but it's, I mean, it's worked for a lot of people and it's a good look. If you can, you know, if that's your look. I know an actress who hates, you know, she would never go red because she's just blonde. Like, that's just the way she, you know, like.
No, and I felt like this was a good fit for me because this is more my natural color anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another reason for me to go that route as well. It looks really natural for me. So yeah. I mean, I would change it, whatever the role needs it to be, but I'm enjoying the red.
Yeah. I think the red looks great on you. So There you go. I think so, like, some people might not be able to pull off red. Some people can, you know, and go right ahead if you can, if like what you can gets you work, like you said, like, you know, and it seems to be getting you more like lead roles that, you know, you normally wouldn't get if you did the blonde. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on what the character is, you know.
Right.
Some characters are blonde and they're the lead role and some people aren't, you know, some, you know, whatever. I mean, so what is your favorite genre to act in?
Horror, really.
Really?
I love, my favorite. That, yes.
You're not just saying that because I'm a horror guy, right?
Like, no, I'm really not. Like, I love it. And I love watching them in the cinema as I feel like they were meant to be watched because, you know, you have that surround sound, all your jump scares. You've got to have surround sound for horror. You just have to. But I love it. And, like, I can't even explain to you how much I love it. I want to be in something like that so bad. I actually did a film. It was a short film, and it would have been amazing. Nobody will ever see it, but I was like this poltergeisty, like, demon thing, a creature, and it was such a cool role. And then somebody lost the footage.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
I know. So nobody will ever see that, and that's the only thing like horror that I've ever been able to do. So. Hopefully I'll be able to change that.
It happens, sadly. Either, like, I mean, somebody legit, like, loses it, or, like, you know, it's happened to me where a editor that I had, and this has happened twice, because I forgot to save it to my Dropbox. They delete it off of their hard drive. Oops.
Oh, yeah.
You know, once it's deleted off your hard drive, it's gone, you know, unless you have backup stuff. So filmmakers out there, please, like, back up your shit. It's scary. It's but, you know, the beautiful thing about filmmaking is how things kind of all come together, you know, the acting, the directing, the writing, all of that. And so I love to interview actors, especially because you guys are out there on the front end, you know, you guys are going out there and doing it, you know, and everything. So do you feel like it's a struggle at times to, like, get into the role that you're playing?
I think I've been really lucky so far. I haven't had any trouble. No. Because even if they don't give me a lot of background to go off of, I've been trained well enough to make up my own backstory. And then I just check with the director and make sure that is this direction that I'm going with it for my background. Okay. And they're like, yeah, that's perfect. You know, great. You know?
Well, nobody's ever said, no, that's not what I was thinking. Right. Nobody's ever said that to you yet.
No,
that's good.
Yeah, no. So I guess I've been well-trained in that respect that I really do try to dig in deep and really get to know my character and really, become it, you know, as much as I can. So 2020, we didn't do a lot. And then I started TikTok just so I could have a, still have some kind of way to express, you know, we're artists, we need to express. And I was not expecting my TikTok to take off like it did, but it's like, it's a whole thing now. Like,
I hear this all the time. Like, so many people, like, all of a sudden out of nowhere, they go viral. Like, you know, and a lot of times they don't, I don't even know what really did it necessarily. It just kind of happened, you know, overnight. Yeah. And that's wonderful. But TikTok to me is not, is fun, you know, and it's enjoyable and it's art, you know, but I'm getting kind of annoyed now hearing that like TikTokers who aren't actual actors are just people who kids who do that are now getting like real roles, like getting offered lead roles in real films, like big films, because they have like a million followers on TikTok. And I mean, before,
and they're, and they can join SAG now. But I mean, and I totally get people's deal with that. I guess in my case, I'm actually kind of grateful that they're allowing influencers, because it, I mean, it benefits me as a actress, that has been working for my butt off for several years to, for them to offer that. It, I mean, it benefits me, but I guess I'm a good mix of, being social media, like popular and all, but also a well-trained actress. So if, you know, if I did get to join or something like that, it's not like I'm just some influencer, joining, you know, but.
What are your feelings on auditions? Like, do you enjoy doing auditions, or do you like dread them?
I don't dread them. I'm always excited to do an audition. I guess I don't think, I think it is all your mindset. If you go in dreading it, it's probably not going to come off very well. I doubt you'd book very much if you're dreading it all the time. I'm not sure, but I kind of just try to go in with a positive mindset. I go in with the mindset that I'm what they're looking for. They want it to be me, you know, and I tell myself these things. They want me to be the solution to their problem of needing to find someone for this role. So that's how I go into it. So,
but do you ever like, because I mean, some people might do that and then they would get disappointed if they don't get the role. I mean, how do you feel about the outcome? Like, no matter what?
I'm really good at this. I'm really good at, I do the audition and it's basically like I'm going into there to perform. That's the job to me. I've already like won in that respect. I get to perform. And then I just leave it. I leave it there. And I don't even think about it again. Once it's done, people will ask me, how'd your audition go? I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh yeah. 'Cause like, I leave it. I don't even think about it. So then if I book it, I'm like, hey, cool. And if I don't, I'm on to the next thing anyway. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, as actors, you know, I'm an actor too, but I don't really, I kind of more put myself in my own shit, you know, and I barely ever like audition or look for, you know, if somebody wants to cast me in something, I'm like, okay, cool. Like I'll do it. But I'm not like, I haven't been seeking work really. And I probably should at some point, but just haven't, you know, I've been too busy with my own, you know, my own life.
Yeah.
You know, so, but as an actor, I'm like, I don't like, I hate to say it, but I guess I'm at that phase in life right now that like, it'd be nice to book something, but it's not like the end of the world, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like so many actors, they get mad, like, I'm not going to say who, but I had an actor who got really upset that, you know, that I promoted somebody else than her or whatever, because she knew that person was probably going to get a role over her, you know, and stuff. And it makes me kind of sad when I hear that, because it's, you know, it's not about that, you know, it's just, you know, like if you know, you know, if you have that mindset from the very beginning, you're not gonna, like you said, Like, if you feel like if you go in the audition going, I'm probably not going to get this role, then you're most likely not going to get the role because you're already putting it out and kind of into the universe that you're not going to get it. But yeah. If you're like, hey, I'm going to get this, and then you don't get it, that's okay. You know, you move on to the next one. But if you, you know, have the mindset that you're going to get it and then you get it, you know, like, that's awesome, right? Like, yeah. It's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing I always notice is that, you know, actors don't, and, you know, I'd love to hear your opinion on this, but actors tend to get upset when they get rejected, and they don't really realize that, like, you know, they have other people auditioning, and basically what the people are looking for is exactly that character. Right. Mm-hmm. You may yeah. not be right for just that character, but you'll probably be right for another character, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you could give the best audition. They could have loved your audition and somebody else ends up getting it. I guess that's why it doesn't bother me as much as maybe other people get hung up on it. Cause I understand that. I know that they're going to, I don't know. Maybe it's a confidence thing that too. I don't know. Again, I think it's just mindset, but I'm like, I know they're going to love me. I know they're going to love me. Even if they don't book me, they might with their next project. You never know. They might be thinking, you know, she's not exactly what I need for this, but I could totally see her doing that, you know, and I'm just always thinking of that, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's completely 100% true. And, you know, and what I've learned recently even is it's no matter what you're doing, it's about building relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if you audition, somebody says, hey, you know, Tris, I got a project for you. Can you audition for this? You say, sure. So you go audition for it and they go, oh man, you're great, but unfortunately not for this role. But then they see something in you and they're like, you know, I'm going to book you for something else. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep that girl in mind because she did a fantastic job on the last one, you know, right? Like, is that kind of how you feel?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. So there you go. I think more actors should kind of realize, like, you know, that not everything is like right now, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta plan ahead for mm-hmm. future stuff too.
Yeah. If people like you, like I get recommended. People talk about me and people will talk about you. And I got recommended for a commercial. I don't even know who recommended me, but you know, they had contacted me directly and I had them contact my agency, but it's just stuff like that. So you never know who's talking about you and who liked you and likes how you are and how you did in the room. So that's what's most important to me.
So let's talk about agencies real quick. Cause you know, when did you first feel like you needed to get an agent?
I was booking well on my own, which is hard to do in the area I'm at, where I don't have film incentives here. So it was a challenge, but I was successfully booking on my own by myself, just from local casting calls, like Facebook groups and stuff like that. Reputable ones, that's, you know, but I was doing a good job with that. I was already pretty well established. So, And agencies love that. Agencies love to see that she's a go-getter, you know, she's mm-hmm. not just sitting back wanting somebody else to do everything for her. You know, she's working her butt off. They like that. So actually when I approached the first agency, Magna Talent was my first agent, Oklahoma. And when I reached out to them, they had actually said they had already had their eye on me. And they were already scouting me. So by the time I had approached them about it, they're like, yes, you know, you're good. So, so now it's my first one. And I have a couple in some different states at this point. And then I have management in LA. So, it's hard. It's hard work. It's wanting it. And what are you going to do to make that happen? How bad do you want it? So
that's amazing. I love that. Like, And so they're like all your you know, agencies will really help you out, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. And I get it. There is so much in Oklahoma. They have so much in that state. So I get a lot out of there. And then it's been a little bit slower in LA because, you know, it's a 2020 and some of those new, you know, changes because of all that 2020 stuff. So I have a few things I need to go back there and film, and I'm just waiting for all of that to be good to go. But yeah, the Oklahoma market is popping. So,
well, good. Do you feel like, do you like doing low budget films as opposed to like bigger budgeted films?
It doesn't bother me as long as they're paying. For me right now, my goal, it doesn't have to be, but I am trying to get into SAG. I have two SAG credits. I'm waiting for, I just need one more.
And then so, you're getting into SAG?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause that's a big decision right there going into SAG, yeah. Because then you're going to have to like just stick with SAG projects and yeah, stuff.
Right.
And I have a lot of friends, who are into SAG right now, and I love it. Like, I love that they're, you know, 100% for SAG, but the problem is, you know, you're going to have to turn down a lot of work, because yeah. Non-union happens right. A lot, you know?
Yeah. But now, I mean, I have plenty of non-union that I am, in pre-production that, you know, I'm slated to do. So it's not an issue with that. But I don't know. It's just the next step that I'd like to work on when that time is right. You know, yeah. I definitely think there's a time for it. It's not yet.
Well, so. There's definitely a lot of actors who do, who are SAG, who still do non-union, and they're not, you know, obviously you're not supposed to, but however, some certain states, and I'm not sure if Oklahoma is one of them, but Virginia specifically, where I live, is was it a right to work state? Mm-hmm. So, you know, so like right to work states, they can, there's like, I guess there's like a little bit of a thing that apparently you're not supposed to, but you do it, you know, you can, mm-hmm. like you can get away with it. And yeah. So I've had people on my projects that are SAG. Now, I don't get in trouble for that, you know, for casting them or directing them or whatever, but they could get in trouble with SAG, you know, I guess, or whatever. And that's usually up to them, you know, to decide. Yeah. Hopefully you'll book a lot more work because of that, you know, and a lot of bigger projects too.
Because, oh, yeah.
You know, that way. What is your, like, what is your dream goal, you know, as for being an actor?
I guess, you know, I try to take my goals like one little step, a tier step at a time. So I've met a lot of my goals. I'm very happy with, I feel very fortunate and lucky with what I've already been able to do. Mm-hmm. I feel super fulfilled with what I've already done. I definitely want to do more. And I guess, so I don't think in like some crazy grand, like one goal, but, like I have on my mind, like I want a film that ends up on Netflix, a silly little thing. I want to be in a Blumhouse film, you know, and, little goals like that. And like I was saying, like, a goal would be SAG eventually. You know, so little goals like that. And once I meet those, then I'll have new goals, but I try to like, you know, get them attainable goals. And then once I meet those, whatever's next. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're like one step at a time, basically. You're yeah. like, you know, this goal seems to be reasonable. Let's get there. Like, yeah. I guess your next goal is getting SAG. Then the next goal after that will be to do a bigger SAG movie, and then, you know,
yeah, right.
Be the
which
star.
I did Shakespeare's Mummy, which there's a named actor attached to that. I don't remember who it was. I wasn't on set with him, and they just filmed his scenes recently. But I know that, cause I went to American Film Market with, the filmmakers that made Shakespeare's Mummy, the film I did, last year or the year before. No, it was 2019. Okay. But the film that they did Lost Treasure of Jesse James. And that was optioned by Lionsgate.
Nice.
They plan to do the same kind of thing with Shakespeare's Mummy. So you never know. That might be the film that goes everywhere. It might end up on Netflix. You never know. but yeah, and actually that film, we are having a premiere for it in October.
Nice.
And then it'll probably release, I guess, on DVD or whatnot, in 2022. So yeah, that's kind of exciting.
So weird to say 2022, like
it's
2020 just started, you know, or whatever. And we had like, I guess that was the shittiest year, you know.
I feel like it's still 2020 and it's like 2021 is almost over. I'm like,
it's halfway over. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
By the time this gets out, it'll be like, we're even closer. So,
yeah, I know. It blows my mind. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. I like the time just flies like that, you know, these days.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it's when I was like thinking about it the other day when I was young. Like time was so fucking slow. Like I wanted like time to go by. Now that time is going by, I'm like, I want it to go slow again. You know? Yeah. Like it's so weird. We're kind of in that like, I guess, time period in our lives, you know, because I'm sure you're about the same age as I am, where it's like we're just ready, you know, for things
to with 2019, I was a workaholic. I was getting like 4 hours of sleep a night and then killing it in the daytime, traveling like all the time. I was hardly ever home, filming like so much, and just had time enough to sleep. And then 2020, that slowed me down so much. I mean, I still had TikTok, which was a crazy thing, but at the same time, it's like, now I'm at this point where I'm like, all right, now let's go, you know, we've rested enough. Let's go.
I saw your IMDb and it's got like a huge amount of stuff in like coming or like in production or, you know, and, you know, development or whatever it is, you know, all the different phases. And I was just like thinking, I mean, because you're right, 2020 was probably the years that those were planning to get made, you know, or whatever, you know, get shot. And then 2021, you know, I was talking to some people about, like, I was talking to a producer and about a project, and they said, I would love to help, but unfortunately I have like 10 other projects that like 5 of them were supposed to be last year and 5 more this year. And, you know, like, I'm just backed up because of COVID. And so that kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah. Sucks a lot.
But it, you know, you said the TikTok kind of helped. I bet also what really helped for you was like, you probably got a chance to like do a little bit more research or some more studying for acting and things, right?
Oh yeah. It definitely forced everyone. It definitely forced me to slow down. Cause it's like running a million miles an hour and then like coming to a screeching halt. And then like, what are you going to do with that? And, so I am grateful. If that hadn't happened, I probably wouldn't have taken TikTok so seriously. And, a lot of times films like that if you have a social media following. So I think that helps me as well. They know I have a little bit of, social media popularity, you know, they love that to, you know, promote films and stuff. So I guess I have that going for me. And I've actually had like casting producers and stuff like that find me on TikTok, and It's just crazy. You know, they'll contact me like, hey, I saw you on TikTok and I really like your stuff and stuff like that. It's just another avenue, that I didn't have before. And I probably wouldn't have been able to utilize as much if I hadn't had that time.
We have a TikTok for Indie Film Cafe, plug for our TikTok there. But, I was putting up a clip, right, for Shark Attack Sundays, and it's like it's our opening, you know, or whatever, and it's got a bunch of shark attacks or whatever, and it's really cheesy and silly. And then it went under review, and I was like, oh nope, I deleted it as quickly as I could, because I was like, apparently I looked at the community guidelines and everything, and violence is one of the things that, and I'm like, oh man, because that would be so much fun to do, like horror stuff, you know, and
yeah,
they can't allow that, you know, on TikTok. And I get it, like, because anybody can, there's no, like, I don't think there's much privacy for TikTok, right? Like, you can't have a private TikTok, everything's kind of public, you know?
Yeah, that kind of defeat the purpose if it was private.
Right.
Nobody would see it.
Right. Unless you're following the person, and nobody's just going to follow some random person that's private, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So like, yeah, it would defeat the purpose. So I get it. So that meant that like kids, you know, and other things could watch it. So, you know, so I get what they're trying to do, but I'm just like, ah, that sucks. Now I've got to be careful what I post in there. Because people get banned all the time for different stuff. I've noticed that. And
It's
a little scary, you know?
Oh, it is scary. Like, I'm so like clean with my page, you know, cause I'm scared of that too. And I'm so careful, but it was like the day before my birthday. I had been live for like not even 10 minutes. And like I got that ban notification from live until like October or something like that. I was like, oh my God, what did I do? I didn't do anything. I was like freaking out. And
what was it? What was it for? Do you know?
I don't know. But the thing is that if somebody doesn't like you or something like that, they could report you for anything. And then you just have to, you know, request them to review it. And so they can, because I got my account back, but I was like, please don't do this to me on my birthday.
Oh, like, man, yeah.
I was like, I didn't do anything. I'm like, I'm the nicest person. Please, like, please. I emailed them. I was like so upset. And but they restored it like that same day.
Okay.
You know, they were like, yes, we find that this was a mistake or whatever. And so I was like, oh my God, like, don't do that.
No, I get it. It's scary. Like, you just don't know what's going on. Like, DoorDash does that too. If somebody reports somebody, even if they did like the best job, you know, if somebody just didn't like you when you came up to deliver their food, they can report you. One report gets you like basically banned from DoorDash. So that's what I heard. You know, I thankfully that's never happened to me. You know, but I mean, it's scary that like, you know, you can get,
it's a good system. And I mean, it would be a good system if people didn't abuse that.
Right.
You know? Like people are going to abuse it.
If somebody really did feel unsafe. Now it was just the same thing as TikTok, where somebody could like, you know, argue against it or whatever, and maybe get back, you know, kind of reinstated. But you're basically fired for you know, whatever. So I know of a person who got banned. I don't know if it's DoorDash. I think it was DoorDash, but they got, you know, banned from it because the person was mad at them for whatever. And they didn't even, the way they described it, they didn't seem to do anything wrong. So I don't know the whole story. I didn't hear from the other person's perspective, but that person didn't seem to like them. They thought they had an attitude or whatever. And you know, put one bad report on them and they got banned, and then they could appeal it. But they were just like, nope, I'm done. You know, like, I'll just go somewhere else. That's the problem with the DoorDash. Is there's DoorDash, there's Postmates, there's all the other different ones. And, you know, if you're smart, you're on all of them, because, you know, you just never know where you're going to get work.
Yeah. I'm so deep with TikTok. I'm just like, that's, that's my that's my thing. So it's like, I don't know. I couldn't let somebody take that away from me. It's unfortunate, but
are you getting sponsored yet for TikTok?
Yes. And I'm in the creator fund. So I get money from that. And then I get money from lives. And then I'm in the creator marketplace. And then brands can contact you, which I have brands contact me all the time. There and Instagram as well. Because I get so many from TikTok, find my Instagram. So I get contacted there as well.
Oh, nice.
It's a lot. Like I wish I had like a social media manager to like sort through all of that. Someday I will, but.
Yeah, we actually, for our company, we just got a social media manager for our stuff. And nice. We love working with her, but it's only because like, I mean, even just posting every day, you know, like takes away from doing something else or whatever.
Exactly.
And so it's really
it's so much work. People don't realize how much work it is. It's like, I'm not just goofing off. It's a lot.
And people are like, you know, they get mad because like, we don't have a huge following, you know, or anything and everything. Like, you know, why are you even wasting your time? And I'm like, well, I mean, cause I enjoy it. You know, if I didn't enjoy this at all, like I thought this was, you know, doing these interviews and doing all these things were not something I was enjoying, I would go do something else, you know, because this is, you know, this is what I'm passionate about, you know, and everything. And that's how you got to be. And that's how you are with TikTok, I can tell, and acting, you know, and everything. Do you feel like a TikTok will help your acting career too? Like people see you on TikTok and you know, cast you for their film because of that?
Yeah, I do. I think that's it's kind of our day and age. Like, and there's a lot of fellow actors that I know on TikTok that have gotten roles because of their TikTok following as well. They're really good actors, you know. But they see us on TikTok and they're like, yeah, they're good, you know? And, so I think it's great. I think it makes a casting job really easy because they have a lot of material to, you know, kind of see from us, on that platform. And, so yeah, I do think it's definitely a benefit. It shot my star meter up because I was on the news, like everywhere. I was on Fox News, New York Times, did a story on me. Like I was everywhere.
And, on your TikTok or on what?
Like actually everywhere. Like,
nice.
Yeah. Daily Mail, The Sun. I can't tell you how many news sources. Like I did an interview with the Daily Mail and then everybody else picked up on the story. So
nice.
Yeah. So that skyrocketed my IMDb. And so, yeah, I don't think it hurts at all.
So, wow. So that's really cool because like a lot of people are sort of really into their, you know, star meter, you know, and everything. And like star meter used to be really, really important, you know, and I feel like now like everything shifts, you know. Like before it was your star meter, then it was your Instagram followers. Now it's your TikTok followers, you know, like I'm sure your agents like ask whoever, you know, they're, you know, think like, do you have a TikTok? No, well start getting a TikTok, you know, like, because this is the way things are shifting. However, understand that at some point TikTok's not going to be the thing and it's going to be something else and you're going to have to like adjust to that. And I feel like also a lot of actors don't do that. They don't.
Yeah. And I think you're right. That's important to be moldable and be not resistant to the change because those are the ones that'll really be propelled forward. When other people might not be, I think you have to be willing to do that.
I'm a creature of habit, but I still like love change in technology. I don't know why. You would think if I'm, because I really am, I really don't like a lot of change, you know? I'll give you this as an example. I used to work at a resort and I was a lifeguard. And all of a sudden they told us we had to learn a new way to do CPR. And I was like, what? You know? So I got upset. I was like, wait, we just did a whole course on the CPR. Now we're learning how to do it a different way. Like, you know, and I got like really frustrated. And my manager was like, you're a creature of habit, aren't you? I was like, I guess, but I'm just like, I don't like change, you know, when I get frustrated. But when it comes
to eventually you learn and then you realize, you know what, that wasn't so bad. Like that's just me too. Like if you think I knew what I was doing when I first joined TikTok, I sure did not. Like I was learning from little kids. Like I didn't even know, like I did not know what I was doing. And now I feel I'm kind of a pro now, but starting out, I did not know what I was doing, but just starting is what the important thing is. It's just trying, you know?
Right. Well, I get so, you know, I get so into the technology stuff, but I get frustrated, because I don't like Snapchat. Like, I hate it. It's my least favorite of all the social media things. I'm like, I don't like, other than people just, you know, sending like naked pictures of themselves that'll be deleted in a day. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing. Like, I don't understand why people want to see a picture for you can save pictures, I guess, but most of the time it's just there for like that day and then it's gone. Right. I don't like stories. I don't like Insta stories because they're gone. Like, I like things that last longer, whatever, YouTube videos, I love that because I can go back and rewatch those things. But then again, as a kid, I've always I've watched movies and then I'd watch movies over and over and over again, So I've always kind of had that thing where I like to go back and rewatch or go back and look at my old pictures or whatever. Yeah. I just never liked Snapchat, and I just don't see that being something that will propel me as a social person. TikTok stays as long as it doesn't get banned or whatever, it doesn't get in trouble. Yeah. But TikTok stays. And you can rewatch all, some people have thousands of TikTok videos and you can just go through all of them and, waste your whole day just looking at them. It's fun to me. I like it. Yeah. You know, I enjoy that stuff.
It's kind of crazy too, how you can watch this app with 30-second videos and you can end up being on it for hours, all night. Like how? It's crazy.
I know, right? You can be on it for hours and you don't even realize it. You're like, oh shit, I gotta go do something. You know?
Yeah. Right? You were talking about how you don't like Snapchat. I think it's funny because that's probably why I have probably almost 3,000, I'm not kidding, of photos and stuff in my camera or on my phone, because I'll screenshot stuff. I like to keep stuff too, but I still use that stuff. But, and then Instagram stories, you can save that in your highlights, so you can save it for longer.
That's true. I don't know. I don't play around with those as much as I should. And I'm learning, because it's so funny. We've had social media since 2004 or 2003, something like that, when MySpace started. And remember Hot or Not? Do you remember that?
No. What is that?
So that's how Facebook started, by the way. Is if you watch the movie Social Network with I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but they were looking at Mark Zuckerberg was looking at Hot or Not. And they were because the whole idea of Hot or Not was, and I remember this, I was part of it, and it's kind of a fucked up thing. That's why they got rid of it. But it was literally, you post a picture and people could vote if you were hot or if you were not.
Yikes.
So nowadays in 2021, that would not fly whatsoever. No. But that was what, you know, you did. I actually met somebody off of Hot or Not. I didn't even know. Like, if you matched with them, you could actually message, you know, if you both thought you were hot.
It's like a dating app?
It wasn't. That was the thing. It wasn't a dating app. It was literally just a way to kind of show that you, that people were whatever. But you could message the person. And so I became friends with people because of that or whatever. It was interesting.
Crazy.
Then MySpace came along, right? And that kind of shaped things differently. And then Facebook, which was originally like, Facebook, which was originally for like colleges and stuff. Then that became like everywhere. So did Twitter and, you know, then Instagram, then everything, you know, all these different medias. And so we've had them since 2003, and they're so like, I'm still learning. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I should enter some kind of like class on social media stuff, because there is so much you can learn from just like, certain times, periods mm-hmm. to actually post your stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't even know how to do that. Like, still, you know, I'll be surprised if I post something at 9 o'clock at night and it does better than like noon, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, why did that post do better than that one? You know, when, you know, that one's probably something I liked better, but that one got the, you know, got the most engagement. So
yeah, timing is important.
Yeah. And I don't know, people know how to do that. I mean, mm-hmm. have you learned that kind of stuff? Like, if you learn which days mm-hmm. to post your TikTok?
I go live about the same time every day. I post between certain times. And if I'm outside of that, then I don't post it. I definitely play by those rules. It's something I've had to figure out.
Okay. So you had to figure it out. You didn't learn it from something else, right? You weren't like...
Yeah. No, I learned it from trial and error.
Trial and error. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, what time do you normally do your live videos?
Usually around 7 a.m. Between 7 and 9:30. I don't really usually go live later than 9:30 a.m. because nobody will be there. Basically, if I go live that late, I don't expect many people to be there. and then evenings.
What time
are
do you get up?
Huh?
What time do you get up?
Well, sometimes I get up at 5 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. And sometimes, and if I have a shoot or something that day, I'll get up even earlier just to make sure I can still do my TikTok.
Wow.
So, yeah.
See, that's dedication right there and everything. That's how you got to be. Cause I mean, you're out there kicking ass and letting people know, you know what I mean? Like out there doing that when other people are probably like me, I get up at 9, you know, and the day is probably already like, you know, halfway over, but you know, in a way. But then again, I'm also reaching out, like I'm up to like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm reaching people from like England, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So it's like, you know what I mean? So like you still, you know, you can still reach an audience. You just can't, you're just not going to be reaching like people like at 2 a.m. All my East Coast people are asleep, and the West Coast people might, some of them might be already asleep, and some people might already, whatever. So you just got to kind of figure it out, but you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Trial and error, you know.
Yeah,
that's what it takes. But yeah, I'm still doing research too. Like, there are YouTube videos about like how to get better engagements and how to find like.
If there is so much, I could probably literally talk all day about that. And again, it's like things that I've learned. Just, you know, some trial and error, and some I've learned from other people that I found does work. Some things that people say, claiming that they work, don't work. And you figure out that kind of stuff, but I've definitely learned enough to, like, I can basically make any video pop at this point. I especially lately, I haven't had any bad ones. Like, most of them go viral in some aspects. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
How many videos do you put out daily?
So when I the first few months I started TikTok, maybe in the first 6 months that I had started, I was actually posting like 9 videos a day, believe it or not. Just pure fun, and also figuring out what was going to pop in the first place, figuring out what your niche is. So, and that was like every day it was 2020. So, right. I had time.
You had time. yeah. What is your niche?
What is my niche? Well, I mean, I'm, what did that?
Your light just went. You don't have a ghost there, do you?
Gosh, I hope not.
I hope not.
That's creepy. I was like, what just happened? what was I even talking about?
Your niche, you know.
Oh, yeah. So I'm on there as an actress. I do acting TikToks. I do, like, I'm occasionally funny, you know, stuff like that.
cute.
Yeah, I try. There we go. so yeah, well, but I'll say at this point, I'm at about 157K. So at this point, I don't need to put out like quantity. I can do more quality over quantity. So maybe one video a day or one video every few days. And when I go live, my older videos all pop as well. So it's like a double whammy, but so I get a lot of views daily, whether I post or not at this point. But yeah, so maybe about one a day now, or one every other day.
Oh, cool.
Quality over quantity at this point.
Good.
But I don't recommend that for new TikTokers though.
Right. What I've been told is you got to put out like 5 to 10 TikToks a day when you first start. And I'm still bad at that because, like, we're doing the Indie Film Cafe TikTok. So what I started was I put like 3 out to begin with, you know, or whatever. And they were all like, like just audio clips, you know, and one of them did fairly well. I mean, better than the others, you know. Here's the funniest story. So I was at Busch Gardens for 4th of July, and somebody had like a camera, you know, that was obviously like a streaming person. Like, so my friend was like, that must be like a YouTuber. And I was like, oh, cool. Let me go ask. Right. So I'm like, hey, do you have a YouTube channel? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, what's your YouTube channel? I'll subscribe. So I subscribed to them like right then and there. And I noticed they just started. They had like 4 videos. And they had like 100-something subscribers, right? And I was like, oh, they got 100 subscribers. And my friend was like, oh, that's pretty good. I was like, no, that's not. And you know what I mean? Like, but it is good if you're just starting out, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to knock people who have like only 100-something subscribers that just started out. But like, I mean, we have like 200-something right now, which still is not that good. You know, we need a lot more, because my brother pointed this out to me when I was telling him how many I had. And we're like, wow, that sucks when you think about the world. You know,
YouTube is a hard platform too.
It is.
I find it very difficult.
Are you on YouTube as well?
I am, and I don't remember how many followers I have on there, but I think it's one of those platforms that I'm like, I don't quite understand it. Like, I understand how TikTok works. I can play with that. I can make things happen there. Maybe even Instagram, I can kind of make things happen there. YouTube, I'm a little bit lost.
Right.
Which it seems like it should be straightforward. I mean, it's just videos, but I just, I just don't understand it like I do TikTok. It's the same with Twitter. Like, I've never understood Twitter either. So
I don't understand it, but I like it. I don't like, I like, I post things occasionally, like I posted today. I try to post at least one thing and retweet, you know, other people's, you know, stuff every day, at least once, you know, a day, because, you know, just to keep it going. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I haven't really, you know, Twitter has gotten to this place where, you know, you can look like spam very easily. So mm-hmm. they yeah. like, you know, will dock you for that. And I've had this problem. I've talked about it on multiple things, platforms, but the problem with Twitter is like the idea that, you know, they have to check with your email, but you can't use the same email more than like two or three times. So then you have to like come up with new email or phone numbers. Can't use the same phone number. So I have to go to my friends and ask them for their phone numbers and do that to create new profiles. And, you know, it's just a big pain in the butt. And so I'm like, you know what? I've got two profiles right now that I use. Everything else I don't use because I just, you know, I don't want, you know, trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pain in the ass. I don't know. I don't understand Twitter either, but I enjoy seeing a lot of the celebrities and people like that, you know, posting on it. But most of those guys are actually posting on Instagram more. So, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot. So that's why I need a social. I can definitely use a social media manager because there's just so much. It's so much. And I know I do have it marked. I could post, like, if I post something on Instagram, it'll post automatically on Twitter. I do that kind of stuff, but
I don't like it because, like, the way it has it set up, it basically makes it look ugly to me.
Yeah.
You know, the way it's like, go to your, you know, this is to your Twitter link, you know, and I'm like, I just don't like that. Like, I would rather it look like, because I would rather post the same thing and then post it on Instagram and then post it, you know? But I've also been told, and, you know, tell me what you think about this, but I've been told to basically to post different things on the different platforms, you know, even if it's the same thing that you're saying, say it a little bit differently to the different audience that you have on the different.
I think that's platforms. Smart. I think that's smart. If you can, it's just a lot. It's a lot. I don't know how I see people, like, they'll literally, and on Instagram too, they'll have like literally like 30 things on their story every day. And I'm like, how are y'all having a life? Like, it is so much.
I see it on their Facebook too. I see one person who has a TikTok and she's doing pretty well. And she'll post, like, I'll go to her like Facebook story and she'll have like 30 that whole day. And I'll be like, all right, you know, good. Like, I mean, amazing that you have time to do that. But, like, yeah, I definitely don't, because if I'm not posting on TikTok or Facebook or Twitter, I'm working on my YouTube or I'm working on my podcast or I'm working on whatever. And I still don't have time. And I'm also working on the movie stuff. So I'm like, I don't know how I like, or I have to do like regular shit, like mow the lawn, you know, like how the fuck do you like manage all of it in one?
I know. I don't know. I need somebody to follow me around and like take pictures and you do that for me. And I can post 30 times a day.
Right. Like they post it for you so that you, you can go do all your normal shit. I mean, if you could afford it, I bet you'd have an assistant who basically did that shit for you, you know, but it's like, you know, it's kind of expensive to have somebody probably follow you, you know, every day.
That's what I want though.
I know.
That's one of my goals.
One of your goals. There you go. Go back to it. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you so much. You've been a pleasure chatting with and everything. What have you been up to lately? I know, I guess kind of talked about a lot of your TikTok and stuff and your, and the fact that 2020 kind of got a hit, you know, so now you're doing a lot more stuff in 2021, probably, right?
Things are starting to get funding now and starting moving with, you know, COVID guidelines and things like that. I got vaccinated just to, you know, help move things along. Put me to work, you know, we're ready to go.
But I'll be fully vaxxed July 15th. So
nice.
Yeah. And mainly that was the main reason. And that's, you know, I don't think like, you know, I mean, obviously also I don't want to catch COVID like the second strand or anything. But yeah. The main reason is because, you know, I feel like I'm going to lose a lot of jobs, you know, acting wise or directing wise or whatever. If people are like, well, are you fully vaccinated? And I'm like, no, you know, I'm not vaccinated at all. So it's just, a lot of people are telling me, oh, I'm not going to do it. You know, FDA hasn't approved, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And look, I get it. But like, I just don't want people complaining when they can't get work, you know?
Exactly. That was my thing too. I mean, I want to get back to work. And if that helps me get back to work quicker, then that's what I'm going to do. You know?
2020 helped with a lot of my podcasting because of Zoom. I mean, we had you last year on Zoom and that would not have happened. I wouldn't be doing half the shows and stuff that I'm doing had it not been for Zoom. So, I mean, thank God.
And a lot of auditions too, they're doing a lot of video auditions and Zoom auditions and stuff like that. And that's something they weren't doing as much of before 2020. So
exactly. It's crazy, you know, and because everybody would say Skype. Now it's now it's Zoom, you know?
Yeah.
I'm watching Catfish and they have Zoom. And I'm like, this is just so, this is such a strange world that we're living in right now, you know? Yeah. Like, but soon, I mean, Virginia is fully like, you know, good, you know, like you don't have to wear a mask anywhere if you don't want to, even if you're not fully vaccinated because, you know, that's your choice or whatever. You know what I mean? And California, I think, has finally gotten to that place, but film sets are still, they want to keep everything still COVID centered and everything.
Right.
I like that. Just, you know, if you're non-union, some people can get away with doing that, I guess, not doing that, you know, but that's everybody's choice of what they feel like, you know, needs to be done. But thank you so much. You said you had a movie that's premiering in October.
Yes, Shakespeare's Mummy. So we're very excited about that. We filmed it in 2019 and then they brought a named actor into the film. I don't remember who. because for a long time that was a hush hush thing. So I can't recall, but I know it's going to premiere at Columbia, Missouri in October. Over a 3-day time period, and then it'll be released in 2022. So I'm super excited for that because we've been waiting so long. And so that's kind of my next thing that I'm gearing up to do, red carpet stuff. So
is that a mummy movie?
Shakespeare's Mummy. It's a family film. I'm the comedic relief. People ask me, okay, what did you do in the film? I made out in every scene. but it is a family film. It's really fun.
It's a family film, but I made out with everybody
I know. I feel so awkward for presenting it like that. But you'll understand if you see
it's not dirty. It's just fun.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, it's meant to be funny. It's, okay. And it is definitely that. So I'm excited to see that. When it's released, we should talk again. And,
definitely.
Yeah, in 20, 2022. 2022. And I'll have more info and where that's going to be released at. And that'll be cool.
That'll be great. I'd love to have you back. Chat about that stuff. And hopefully it'll be out on like Amazon and all those other,
places. Oh yeah. Like I said, I know they'll be working on Lionsgate. I don't know if they will or not, but I know that they are working so hard. They go to American Film Market every year, this group of filmmakers I work with in Colombia. And you know Ben Kaplan?
Yeah, I know Ben.
Yeah. So I know him because I work with his people in Colombia. He's from Colombia and moved to LA, but this is that's those kind of filmmakers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Super serious. They're
I didn't know you knew him. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
He is.
I met him at in LA. Because he was hanging out with the like Sarah French and those guys, and we met, you know, and we're just like hanging out at the Beetle House or whatever it's called.
I'm so jealous. I wanted to go there when I was there and we didn't get to go. I think I was actually with Ben around that time. I don't know if it wasn't open or what.
Oh, when was that? Because
It was tail end of 2019.
Okay. We went in 2020, right before shutdown and everything. Mm-hmm. But my roommate and I went there and hung out and you know hung out with Joe and Sarah and all of them. And it took shows so happened that and Marcel Waltz and all those guys. And it was really cool meeting Ben, and just Ben's one of the nicest guys. He's gonna be in my projects and stuff too. So like I love him.
Nice.
Yeah,
they are all so sweet, and Sarah's so sweet. That's the sweetest group of people.
I know, and I didn't know what was going on. I just said, "Hey, Joe, do you want to hang out?" And he was like, "Yeah, well, we're doing we're all hanging out at this bar if you want to come." And I was like, "Sure," you know, like. And they were doing some kind of meetup and, you know, kind of thing. And I don't know if they kept doing it or not, because I know like that was late January. So, or like early February ish. So it was, So like right after that, you know, everything kind of shut down. So I think, I don't know if they did any more of that stuff, but it was nice to see them, you know, cause I hadn't seen Joe and Sarah since 2010, I want to say, in person, you know, and so it was really cool to like see them again and everything. Kind of missed them.
Sweet people.
Yeah. I don't know if you met Joe yet or not, but you know, or why not?
I can't remember if he was like, because I went to Marcel's house to watch Blind, so okay. I'd watched it before he had released it, and so that was cool. So I met quite a few of them that night. I had already knew Ben, but they're all really sweet.
Well, great. Well, you're really sweet too, so you fit in really well with them. Well, thank you so much. How can people reach you? Like, what's your TikTok handle and stuff? And
TikTok is The Real Tris Marie.
Okay, and what's your Instagram? Same thing or?
It's actually tris.marie.
Okay. It's kind of cool. I like that, but sometimes I feel like you have to be like the same handle for everything or something, because otherwise it confuses people. But
I know. Well, and see my Twitch I made after TikTok blew up, so my Twitch is the same as my TikTok. So I do like that uniformity. I think that is really important. Instagram, I've had like so many years and never really took it seriously. So that's just whatever.
Well, that's funny. Like, I love that. Like, that was what we were talking about. Like, how, you know, we've had this shit for so long and we are now just realizing, I feel like, I mean, maybe for years people have been realizing this, but like, you know, I just started realizing, I started getting into like this, you know, like back into social media more, you know, mm-hmm. because this is the way of the future. This is where things are going. And if people are, as actors are like, oh, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to do it, you know, they're going to lose out on mm-hmm. roles and other things because they're not taking this seriously. So, as actors, if you're listening, actors, you know, seriously, take this seriously, you know? Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back on, and if you could stick around and I'll chat with you afterwards, but everybody else, hope you guys enjoyed it. Please check out sickflickproductions.com, indiefilmcafe.reviews, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, and patreon.com/indiefilmcafe if you'd like to throw us a buck and help us out. You'll get a free Patreon only podcast, so at the end of the month. So thank you guys for checking this out, and bye Jess.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.